So the title of my talk or message today is 100 Years, 40 Million Reasons. And it's a little strange always to speak on Remembrance Sunday. Just I find it strange because the closest I've ever come to living through a war is watching the director's cut of Saving Private Ryan. And to be fair, the closest I've ever come to active service is buying a poppy each Remembrance Sunday. Yet today is still desperately important to me. My great-grandfather was injured in the trenches of the First World War, fighting in France. His regiment, in a strange twist of fate, if you like, were backfilling for the Cheshire Bantams, who had suffered great casualties. One of those casualties was Nicky's great-grandfather, who died in the First World War. So our families are linked in battle. And indeed, if you go up to Christchurch in Downend, you'll find a memorial stone to one of my other relatives, Onslow Summerhill, who, whilst having a great name, sadly died on the battlefield. And Nathan mentioned that the Germans, whilst retreating, still fought on. And indeed, they continue to fight. Many of you will know that the armistice was signed just after 5 a.m., but the ceasefire didn't take place until 11 a.m. And Onslow was one of the sad few who died in that period. So on his gravestone, his death is the 11th of November, 1918. And he was the last person from Bristol to die in the First World War. He was one of just 600 British soldiers that died that day between the signing of the armistice and the ceasefire. I read this week that 2,500 Americans also died in that period. And the reason that the ceasefire didn't stop immediately because they thought it was better to get the message out so that everyone knew to stop fighting. I guess with hindsight, they may have done things differently. So today, my cousin still serves in the Royal Marines Band, and I have many friends who either serve in the army or have previously served in the army. So today, we come together as friends, family and strangers to remember. And remembrance, if it is anything, must be comprehensive. Our remembrance is not just of the two world wars. But also of the other conflicts that have gone on around the world. The Korean War, the Aden and Malayan emergencies, the Falklands War, the Cyprus conflict, the Northern Ireland police action, Bosnia, the First and Second Gulf Wars, and the Afghan conflict. Plus many other smaller but no less dangerous interventions around the world. From the First World War to today, 100 years of continued conflict. So it gives us an opportunity to simply say thank you for the sacrifice that so many made so that we in the United Kingdom can enjoy our relative peace. And remembrance goes beyond that of our armed forces, so we also remember the emergency services, the fire brigades, police, ambulance staff, support services such as the many chaplains to forces, and not least the millions of civilians who have died as a result of war and terrorism. We remember the London Underground attacks, Westminster Bridge, London Bridge and a Borough Market, and the Manchester Arena attack, as we remember Iraq and Syria. As we remember Coventry, so we remember Dresden. Remembrance is comprehensive. Now, I was a student in Coventry, and indeed my graduation was in the cathedral. And in 1930, the cathedral looked like that. By the end of the war, Second World War, it looked like that, and does today. The ability to remember is a wonderful gift that God has given us. In a flash, we can be a child again, skimming rocks across the sea, or walking in a meadow. Many of us can recall a time when we fell in love, got married and had children. Some of us can remember a time before we were married, when we bought our own clothes, and before you had children, when you could afford to buy your own clothes. You can remember because those memories are fixed in your mind. And time cannot rob you of those, so long as your memory continues to function. Some of our memories are happy, and we can recall wonderful experiences. But some of our memories are sad, and we may weep. The problem, though, is that sometimes memory fails us. Sometimes we simply forget. And for that reason alone, I think the Remembrance Day service is one of the most important services in the church's calendar after Christmas and Easter. Because it helps us not to forget why we have the freedom that we enjoy today. Because it helps us not to forget. It reminds us that the peace that we've enjoyed for the last 70 years or so on mainland Britain was not bought cheaply. It's been said that the people are the sum of their memories. Today is made special by the memories that we bring with us. Some of us may bring memories of active service. Some of us may bring memories of those whom we've loved and lost. Some of us may bring memories of civilian life during wartime. Some of us may bring a long commitment to peace and working for peace. Each of us brings different memories and thoughts to our act of remembrance, which helps us make it more comprehensive. Some of us may have lived through the Blitz. Some served in the forces. Some of us remember when nowhere in mainland Britain was safe from IRA bombs, Guildford pubs, Harrods, changing of the guard, the Old Bailey, the House of Commons, a fishing boat in the Irish Sea. We all know the closeness of the current terrorist bombs in London and Manchester, when innocent civilians and children were targeted. But whatever our memories of war and conflict, we bring them here with us. Today we cannot hide from what we might choose to forget at other times. Today we bring very different and diverse memories. With those memories, we also bring different and complex emotions. It's easy to romanticise memories of war, especially for those of us that have never lived through it. We play war-based board games like Risk and computer games like Call of Duty without a second thought, but would never dream of playing a game about Jimmy Savile. We have to ask ourselves why the thought of the latter is so utterly repulsive, but the former, the cruel, painful death of millions, is so socially acceptable. Many films turn to humour what was in truth devastating. Dad's Army makes everything look funny. Well, almost. And almost something that we would have wanted to be part of. The nostalgia industry produces cookery books based on rationing. The Blitz can make us think of camaraderie and singing songs deep in the shelters of tube stations. We can almost begin to think people might have enjoyed it. Of course, it wasn't really like that. The horrors of the Blitz led to the destruction of cathedrals and to the destruction of countless ordinary people's homes. Coventry Cathedral, St Peter's Church in Castle Park in Bristol, lasting memories of the destruction of our cities. For those of us who never lived through the Blitz, it's impossible to imagine what it was like to emerge from an air raid shelter and find whole streets destroyed. I was shocked, as I'm sure many of you were, by the images this week of Ypres on the news this year. Ypres has been rebuilt to look exactly the way it did before the war. And looks like this. But at the end of the Second World War, it looked like this. The same building on the right. 100 years. 40 million reasons to remember. 40 million being the number of civilian and casualty deaths and casualties in the First World War. Sadly, many people misunderstand what today is about. We're not here to glorify war or the supremacy of this or any other country. We're not here to defend the cruelty and the agony of warfare and terrorism. And we're not here to justify the armed forces or the establishment. We're not here to label deaths either as sacrifice, for sacrifice suggests a degree of choice. We're here to remember all those people of whatever country who have suffered and died in the pursuit of freedom and good. We're here to give thanks to God for their lives given for the freedom of many countries around the world. We're here to acknowledge publicly and before God that countless people have given their lives for us, for our freedom, and for others and for their freedom. We're here to pray for all who suffer and have suffered as a result of war. They gave their today for our tomorrow. Whenever there's a war or conflict, we're usually hopeful that it will be the last, that there will be no more war. But we are not free from war and the pain of war. Our purpose today is to acknowledge that pain and to remember it, to also thank God for the freedom that so many enjoy because of the laying down of life by so many for this and many other countries, and to pray for peace. We thank God for those that laid down their lives for others. And as John's Gospel talks, we acknowledge the example of Jesus in laying down his life for others. Jesus' death was not easy. The term excruciating comes from crucifixion. It'd be a mistake, however, to think that remembrance is simply about the past and about what happened. Our remembrance is not simply something in the past, but something that we make present here and now as we realise the significance for each of us. Whoever, whatever, wherever our thoughts turn to today, today we acknowledge laying down its life for others. The Bible is a book of memories too. We can recall God's goodness to his people, starting with the stories of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the Old Testament. There we remember in the New Testament the story of God sending his own son Jesus into the world to bring mankind back into a right relationship with God, culminating with the ultimate sacrifice that Christ made on our behalf on the cross. And the Bible says that God so loved the world, because this is all about love, that he gave, because it's him taking the action. His only son, Jesus Christ, he himself, so that all believe in him. That puts the weight of their lives on him, should not perish but have eternal, everlasting life. And we're reminded that through Jesus we have hope. It's positive. It's good news. It's really good news. But the Bible is more than just a book of memories. In it we are reminded how God wants us to live. The rules that God has given us for living are not rules to curtail our joy in life. Quite the contrary, they are given, as Jesus said, so that we may have life and life in abundance. Try to imagine playing a game of football with no rules. It would be chaos. So it is when we fail to remember the rules of life that God has given us. Jesus gave us two great rules to govern life in our society. The first was this: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Matthew 22, verse 37. And the second was to love your neighbour as yourself. Verse 39. But who is our neighbour? Well, the answer can be confusing for all of us, but more so for our armed forces. The neighbour may well be an Afghan farmer who speaks no English and would prefer to be left alone in his own country, but would equally want no part of a Taliban regime of an Al-Qaeda that would attack the West. That neighbour may also stand on a British roadside and spit on the parade of a returning regiment. Most important of all, in a rapidly changing world where friend and foe can be hard to distinguish and new threats seem to emerge every year, there's a need to remember the great promise that sustains every Christian in peace and in war. I am with you always, to the very end of the age. So let us go from this Remembrance Day service resolved to make these commands the goals of our lives. The American poet George Santayana once said, "Those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it." Let us be the generation who learns from our history. Let us be the generation that does not perish, but instead has everlasting life. 100 years, 40 million reasons. We will remember.